Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I want to look at another one of these great exhortations from the epistles. I've been snatching these gold nuggets in these epistles. These epistles written to God's people in that day and through the ages. God speaking to His church, Christians, throughout the world, throughout the centuries. I've been focused on these different themes recently. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's doxology, but then when he's saying to those Christians or reminding them, when we pray, God is able to do exceeding or immeasurably more than we could ask or think. Philippians chapter 1, which was our previous time, Paul's exhortation to walk worthy or walk in a manner pleasing or like him, and keep standing and striving together for the gospel. To keep standing and keep striving, moving forward for the gospel. So these are two of those great exhortations. And today, Paul's exhortation to Christians to do good unto all men. Galatians 6. Let me read verses 9 and 10. And we'll take our focus today on verse 10. Let me read this and then we'll pray again briefly. Paul says, by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and let us not be weary in well-doing or in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. God help us. Let me pray. Father, give your word success. Give help today to hear this and to receive it and to be impacted by the Holy Spirit. This is truth for the Galatians and for those of us in this room in Christ Jesus. Let it come. For our good and for your glory, we ask. Amen. Doing good to others. No problem, right? No problem. Just flows out of a natural ability, right? Well, by the grace of God, we could say yes, but if we're honest with ourselves, like Brian was asking those questions today, maybe it's not that easy. But we're commanded, do good to others. Paul's exhortation here as he's closing this letter to the Galatian Christians, it's just so clear. It's just so direct. It's so comprehensive. Do good unto all men, and especially those of the household of faith. So it's clear, it's comprehensive, and it's convicting. Are you convicted? Do good unto all men? Wow. I mean, this Paul lived it. He had walked in it. But now consider the day of the Galatian Christians. This is the context. This is a day. This is a letter to these Christians. So we want to be briefly true to the moment, the time it was written. But it's written for all Christians, but particularly in the Galatians' day. They lived in this region of Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, and extended. It's kind of hard to define exactly how much geographical area these Christians were gathered in from. But that's where they were in that first century church. It was a worldly pagan culture. That's the context. They're living in a worldly pagan culture. False gospels were everywhere. Pseudo-mystical, if you want to say religions, not to mention chiefly various forms of Judaizers. This is what you've got to do to be right with God. And in their day, there was opposition. There was conflict. There was a pushback against the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on now. You've got to add this or add this. Other gospels. And then the leaders of the day and the types of political activities would have been full of wicked men. So I'm just giving us a snapshot. Paul's writing into that culture to these Christians in that day. If you were to put it in one statement, a society in gross darkness and heresies. Sounding familiar, right? Does it sound like 2023? Not just in the Western world, but across the world. The same types of conditions in our day, in darkness, in games, in heresy, in political evil. And yet this letter, this word from God cuts right into the day we're in. It comes right to us. Yeah, it sounds like our day. And yet God says clearly from His word to them and to us, do good unto all men. Children, I want you to listen to this today. This is God speaking to Christians. If you're not a Christian today, you need to come to Jesus Christ today. If you're a young Christian, one of you boys or girls, listen to God speaking about how we're to conduct ourselves. It's just wonderful and phenomenal. So do good unto all men. In our day, Philip, are you sure about this? In our evil day, like me, you, us, first row, second row, yeah, all of us. This comes to all of us. Doesn't matter where you are in your Christian pilgrimage right now. I mean, Paul's already been dealing with all kinds of difficulties, troubles, problems in the letter, and he's winding down in context to that, and he says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially God's people. So it's just so powerful and needed. Immediately, I'm just going to hit a couple of questions immediately, and then we'll go back to the primary two categories of what Paul is applying this to. Doing good unto all men. When? When is that? When we have opportunities. How? How do we do good unto all men? With grace and wisdom. That's how we do it. It's not a formula. It has to come from the heart. Why? Why would we do it? For the glory or the name of Jesus Christ. That's a synopsis of the sermon right there. When? As we have opportunity. How? With grace and wisdom. Why? For the glory of the great one, Jesus Christ. If this is already making you uncomfortable, as Mac would say, good. Jared, you want to shut the doors and not let anybody out now? If it makes you uncomfortable, then welcome to my world. Just studying it, going back through it. It ought to move us out of comfort, in a sense. This is the kingdom of our dear Savior that we're in. And He went about doing good and all that He did. And His people should be about doing good. So if you're uncomfortable, 5 or 7 minutes into this, hang on. Carefully listen today with an open heart to what the Holy Spirit will teach you today. What He will lead you in and bring into fresh perspective in your life. I do not have a formula. We do not have a bunch of rules. We don't have laws that you have to keep. That's not what I'm talking about. It's grace in us and flowing out of us. It's Jonathan at a hospital in Houston, Texas. As you have opportunity. So listen to what the Spirit says. Paul's exhortation in verse 10 on doing good covers two categories of people. I mean, you might say, Philip, go ahead and get to the second one. Let's get to other believers. But he starts with all men. He says two categories, the non-Christian and Christians doing good. That ought to get all of our attention. So let's come to these two different categories and think about what God is saying and what we see in other aspects of the scriptures. The first group, non-Christians. Paul says, as we, the Christian, absolutely any of us, not just a few, this isn't just written to the elders and deacons or certain ones, as we, God's people, have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good. Now, since I read verse 9 as well, it's notable that Paul, as he's finishing this letter, has a theme here of doing good, right? Verse 9. Paul moves from kind of the labor of it, the drain of life and living the Christian life. Let us not grow weary in doing good. That's what he says in verse 9. Hang in there, keep going. laboring for that which is good. And then he takes it to a very positive exhortation or encouragement of activity. Don't grow weary in doing good. He said, let us or continue to do good to other men. So he's taking this theme out at the end with great force, a lot of punch in what he's saying here. He is strongly exhorting those Christians in that day to be about this kind of conduct in their life. That's why these are nuggets in these letters. I'm hoping these things are stirring you to go back, read these different epistles, and see the direct commands of God to how we live the Christian life. How do you turn the world upside down? Acts, the book of Acts. By living the Christian life and the power of the Holy Spirit with us. It's not necessarily in this room as precious as this is, and as appointed as God's given this time together in worship. But the turning of the world upside down is when we go out. It's doing good. It's striving and standing for the gospel. So Paul is so clear, keep doing good to others. First, now let's consider also this word good. There's a lot of words in our society that just get changed or get redefined, like the word love in our day. You know, you can't trust about 96% of what you hear people say or print about love. They just pervert it. I know that's not in my notes, I just need to say it for the record. But good, what people call good. Sometimes you think, did they actually just say that? What does it mean then, according to God's word, which is totally pure and totally to the heart, what does it mean to do good? This is very significant for us. Because otherwise you get caught up in things that are in society that people imply that they're doing good, and it's they're doing works or they're doing things for men, the praise of men. Good, doing good. The Greek word, agathos, which means it's to the benefit of the other person. I mean, like, great benefit. It's personal. It's you to them. Doing good has a personal impact of your life to their life. This is significant if we're going to understand it in how we live and how we view opportunities that come our way. Some of you in the next 2 hours when you leave here are going to have these moments present themselves. What are you going to do with the moment as you stop and put gas in the car, or if you make another stop today, or you see somebody at your apartment complex or at Cement City? Doing good? Yeah, benefiting others. Something that helps that person in their situation or impacts that person. And it could be many things. That's why I hesitate, particularly as it relates to people of the world, the non-Christian. I'm not going to try to put down things. I want to get more specific when we think about our doing good to each other. But here, any and everything could come up. Real situations, real opportunities. And so Paul, God's servant, is speaking on doing good, benefiting others from your life. So we're not talking about giving money to not-for-profit groups. You know, okay. People today, this week, they're going to send in their $35 a month to some group and they're going to feel like they're really doing good. You know, that's not what this is about, if I can say that. Okay? This is not those not-for-profit groups. This is not all those different groups that are out there that I have had to be around and hear about and presentations from for years. I'm not trying to take cheap shot. I'm just being honest. That's not what this is. This is about, from our life, impacting others. It's not about sending in a few dollars every now and then. It's something that we're about. Paul says to be doing good unto all men, and he says, as opportunities come. Opportunities. As much as you have opportunity, meaning as much as you see in the moment, what's happening in the flow of your life. Yes, opportunities come. They come in different ways. I thought about this the other day. I'd love to just pause and take about 15 minutes and just go around the room. Jonathan was doing a little bit of that as he was sharing. What are opportunities that come your way that you can do good unto others? In God's providence, He brings them to us. I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm not just talking about meeting a homeless person. In some ways, I miss the Denton Senior Center. We met there because we were in the park. And you remember, we had transient people all the time coming into our meeting. Right? Everybody remember that? They would have meals with us. They'd sit and listen to the preaching. Sometimes they would stay afterwards and talk with us. Yes, we could do good unto them. We should be. We should be about doing good. But all kinds of opportunities come our way. Things that you don't even see coming. Opportunities. God is saying when those come and when He brings them, be about good. Doing good. Benefiting others. You seize the moment. You lay hold of it. Now we're all in different places. We have different flows to our life. Different interactions. Different capacities. Different demands on us. But I'm just saying that the sweeping exhortation here is about us being ready as the opportunities are presented to do good. It's just a, causes you to stop, doesn't it? It should. It should cause us to stop. I've spent the last week thinking about this passage, seeing these casual interactions with people. Meaning realizing these are significant. Very significant. Now consider, beloved, this command is given to God's people. And it doesn't have conditions on it, exclusions on it, like some legal attorney's special fine print. It just says do good to others, regardless of their race, their nationality, their gender, their social status, their religion, their age, their social barriers. If I can say it, the color of their hair that they have, whatever that might imply. And I'm not against necessarily color in the hair. I'm just saying people that are different. People that are out there, they're around us every day. We interact with them. In fact, sometimes they're fascinated by us just in the way maybe we react to them. But the point is, they're not exclusions. Those things that I just read off to you are exclusions or barriers that people face in every culture all the time, every day. I get it. But this command to us is not with exclusions. It doesn't say, see footnote. Unless they're older or unless they have real problems that you can't help them with. Unless they're wealthy or poor or they don't dress like I do. It doesn't say that. Do good unto others. Sweeping fellow humanity, fellow people in our society. People you go to school with, you work with, you're in your neighborhood. It gets right where we live. Man, what a great God. What a Savior who exemplified this. Yes, beloved, social barriers. You might be thinking of some right now. And you may be thinking, Philip, there is no way I can help blank. What's in your blank? By the grace of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit in your life, my answer would be, yes, you can. Yes, we can. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we believe our lives are for here and we can testify and speak and do things for others that benefit? Yes. All the time. By God's grace. There aren't barriers. Really. We have them. We feel them. But it's just the goodness of God and the love of Jesus Christ that just can take barriers and get them out of the way, saints. We just got to get these things out of the way. I'm more mindful of that, I think, now in aging and getting older to see, you know, there's these gaps that you feel, different cultures, different generations, different interests, different arts, different fashion, different, and it's everywhere, different lingo. But the grace of Jesus Christ, it's relevant for all. Loving others, speaking of Him, caring for others, being compassionate, speaking of glorious truths that people need while they spend their life in vanity. Oh, beloved, if anybody has something good to offer, it's people right here. I'm not looking to the United Way to fix everybody. You may be on a board of directors in one of the counties of United Way. I'm sorry if I just hurt your feelings. I'm going to stand on this. Christ and His people is who helps people in the ultimate sense. I understand other groups can help people and provide meals and all kinds of practical things. I get it. But we're ministering the gospel and good to them for their benefit. Social barriers, there's not any. Did the Lord Jesus have social barriers? Yes, from the standpoint that He was born as a Jew and that He's in His time and place, there would have been social barriers in the culture. But did the Lord Jesus Christ have any social barriers? Children, y'all can even, you want to just yell out loud. No, he didn't. No barriers with the Son of God, the King of Glory. No barriers. Stay with me for a minute. This could help us. I like what William Hendrickson said. Jesus' love overleaped every boundary. He went way beyond it. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who knows the next line? Who went about doing good. This is about Jesus Christ. God anointed him. The Father anointed the Son with the Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good day by day, hour by hour, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I had a guy talk about being in the barbershop the other day. A guy I met for the first time with you. And it was encouraging to me. Because we're talking about that level of right where we are, right where we live. This is the Son of God who went about doing good, full of the Spirit, full of power, and full of love and compassion for humanity, perishing humanity. Brethren, consider the Lord Jesus and his example of doing good. I'm trying to emphasize the barriers that we feel that are there. They're not really there. They don't need to be there. We need to get those out of our head. Oh, God, help us. Jesus interacted with and had compassion on lepers. Come on. Doesn't the Son of God know you don't hang out with lepers? He cared for him. He had compassion. He touched that one leper we read about, right? He touched him and he made him clean. He healed him. There's all kinds of people in our society that, no, you can't talk to them. We out with that idea. The Lord Jesus teaches us. The Lord Jesus showed tenderness with disabled people, meaning people that had hardships and difficulties, blind, lame, people that absolutely were just set aside in society. The Son of God went after them and loved them and spoke truth to them and healed them and gave them life, told them to follow him or go back and testify what he did. You hear what I'm saying? We're going to meet people in these encounters. We're going to meet people. And sometimes those encounters, we speak truth to them and we have no idea where it goes from there. But we can help them. We can benefit them. The Lord Jesus Christ delivered demonized people. People that had demons and were under such slaves to evil, the Lord Jesus set them free. Now, I understand this opens a whole arena of the demonic side, and I'm not even trying to chase that right now. I'm just saying people that are in such messed up, they're not in the right way of thinking, in the right way of mind. That's most of the culture, if I can put it that way. Others that were just messed up. And Jesus Christ, intentionally and with all power and with all compassion, he set them free, he ministered to them, and he benefited them as the Savior of the world. Does that speak to us? I mean, sometimes you get your car worked on and you're thinking, I am really different than this person. Well, it's time to speak to them. It's time to remember these exhortations. Let us, as we have opportunity, do good. The Lord Jesus Christ accepted tax collectors and prostitutes. Accepted from the standpoint that he would dine with them. He would speak with them. He would come and be with them. He would let them come and be with him. Tax collectors and people of the world and the flesh and evil and these dark lifestyles. People despise them. Tax collectors and all those people. That's why I made reference to when we were at the Denton Senior Center. We had a little bit of everything come in there. You guys remember it, right? Those have been here for a number of years. We had a little bit of everything wander in our building those days. I had some profound questions asked to me, and others probably did too, by people. Loving people that are outcast in society. The Lord Jesus Christ exemplified it perfectly. He gives us grace to have his heart. I don't have a formula of this, and this. I'm just saying we want to follow the Master. Lord Jesus, teach me to love people like that. That's what we're saying. We cry out to him. The Lord Jesus talked and interacted with Gentiles, meaning people that were non-Jewish. He was intentional. He went to Samaria. He met that woman. He talked to her at the well. The gospel came forth. The gospel spread to others in that community. The Jews didn't have dealings with the Samaritans, right? Jesus would talk to the women, women of different backgrounds, as I've already said. So he was constantly doing good. I'm wanting this to kind of sweep over you with fresh reality that Jesus Christ, our example, oh, to be like him, he's the one that we follow. There don't have to be barriers, beloved. There doesn't have to be barriers. God, help us to see people with a heart of love and open, just an open heart and mind to where they are. Are you getting the picture? God's going to bring all kinds of people across your path. I could probably ask one or two of you now to speak this week of something that came to you, somebody, some need, some situation. Jesus, in all of his majesty and his compassion and his love for fellow man, he said this, but love your enemies. What's the next phrase? And do good. Do good to them. I understand that people say vile things to you and want to cheat you and criticize. I'm not living in some Pollyanna world. For anybody who remembers that reference point. I understand exactly what it's like to be in this culture and this day and all the evil and all. I realize it. But we overcome evil with what? Good. That's what the Lord Jesus, that's who he was, that's who we follow. He's the King. We testify of him. We walk like him. Love your enemies and do good. So Paul's exhortation for us to do good to other men flows out of our life. It flows out of where you are in life. It's very different for me at my age and where I am, my station of life, than when I say I was in college. And I told y'all when I was in college, I mentioned that before, I took that metals class and I started doing a piece of metal work that was trying to represent the resurrection. And my instructor, it just kind of blew his mind. What are you working on over there? So in that time, I was, in a sense, I was trying to speak to him in that moment, in that class, of something greater than he or me or what's happening in the class. This is a symbol of the Son of God. Doing good. Let it come from the flow of your life, wherever you are. Now, I want to finish on this category with just a few things to share that would be considerations on this phrase, as we have opportunity. Because the opportunity that comes with you brothers or you sisters, you young ones, single or married, or it's varied. It's varied. But let me just give a few thoughts on this. Number one. Doing good to others, it's in the season of life you're in right now. Is that making sense? It's within where you are now and in the sphere or the types of things that you have capacity or you could give yourself to. For example, as I've just said, if you're single and what you can do to impact and minister and do good unto others is going to be different than if you are married with children. You have different demands upon you. But in the season of life you're in now, let the Holy Spirit give you a bigger perspective and readiness, an eagerness, a readiness to do good. Young couples that don't have children yet. What'd y'all do with those first 7 or 8 years? Get up here. I want to ask you this question. Y'all had years without children. I didn't have many. Our first little boy was born 2 days after my first anniversary. So I was raising kids a lot from then on for 40 years. So there was different times and seasons. But just think about the reality of where you are right now in the season of life you're in and what opportunities God will bring to you or what opportunities you can see and go with. You ever had to install a ceiling fan in a crawl space about this big? Brian's probably thinking, that's not fun. I mean, many of the brethren have been here for years, remember me referencing this. But when we were in our 20s, maybe early 30s, we didn't have hardly any money. God just, he's always taking care of us. But we were living very modest, had 4 little kids. And we would have yard sales in Denton. Now, the Sadowskis would remember this and a few others. I'm sure if the city records were pulled, that somebody could come citate us. Because we had way too many yard sales and garage sales. And it's allowed by ordinance, is what I'm trying to say. Probably the mayor or others would say, they're having one every other weekend. because we were just trying to raise $50, $28, $103. You get it. Well, Krista would get some things from her dad because he was a wholesaler, and she got these ceiling fans, and we would sell ceiling fans to make a little bit of money. Everything's going good, right? Do good unto all men. And my dear wife sold the ceiling fan, and apparently a part of the promise of selling the ceiling fan to the lady and her family that was probably didn't have a whole lot of money was that we would install it. Where were you, Brian? I needed you, brother. We will install it. So, yeah, I was told or shared with my dear wife that I would be installing that ceiling fan for him at no cost. The transaction has already been made. I laugh at it because I learned something then. I remember thinking, how did she get me into this? And so, it wasn't going to be a nice, beautiful day in October. It's June or July. It was somewhere. And so I went to that part of Denton, the eastern part of Denton, set it up and scheduled it. And I went into a community that's very different than the community I live. That's what I'm saying. There's barriers. These barriers, we get caught up in barriers. It was so good for me. I don't think I took any of the kids because they couldn't help me. And it was truly a roof that had about 12 to 18 inches of space. So anyway, the rest of the story, that attic maybe was 130 degrees. It was hot. And I crawled and slid through there, and I'm talking through, talking through the roof. Brian, you can picture this. And God's in it. Think about this. Just think about it. In that moment, grace is there. He kept me, and they were so happy. So I think that thing worked. It worked when I left. But I got that thing put in. I was never happier to get something installed. I'm sweated through everything I have on, and man, they turned that thing on. It was one of her son's bedrooms. And they were so happy. You don't know when the opportunities are going to come. Somebody else might commit you to an opportunity. But you can do good. You can benefit others in God's purpose. That's why I feel like Paul is saying something that's big in its theological expression. But he's talking about living it out together with other people. So that's the first thought I want to share on that. Second, excuse me. Do good to others out of the resources and your skills, your capabilities. Be mindful of that. Some of you have certain giftings, and so God will bring things that you could do way more readily. You understand right now? I'm not talking at all about giving people money. Oh, that can be part of it. But we're talking about more holistically, how you help and benefit others. Changing a tire for somebody. Jeff and I and a few other men years ago, 20 years ago, went up to Minneapolis for a conference with Piper and some of those other men. And we got there and we got to the parking lot and we'd driven 16 hours straight. That is correct. 16 hours straight. Man, we are fired up, ready to go into that big arena. And we drive up where we park and there's two ladies there looking at a flat tire. We all looked at each other and said, well, I think I know what we're about to do. We're not going into the arena yet. But God was with us. We changed the tire. I mean, they were downtown, not the best place to be in a situation like that. And God helped us. Do good to others out of your resources and your abilities. God enables you to benefit others because of you. He's with you. Your time, your skills, your money, your experience, your resources in total. Just be ready. Barriers don't need to be there. Be ready. And third, on this topic of being ready or this thing of as you have opportunity, be discerning. I did appreciate some of the reading I did where men of God would say you actually have to be discerning, too, of who you try to help and benefit. Because you can get hurt. You can get yourself in a mess. So I felt like I owe it to the protection of the flock to say that zeal is a good thing. Have zeal according to knowledge. Have zeal in what it means to help others. But be careful. You sisters, you women, be careful in situations. You're going to things you can't touch. You can't get involved with. You might put yourself at risk. You young people, you teenagers, be careful. Men, be careful. We need discernment. We need the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and insight. To give us a sense of confirmation that He's with us in this. And I know that takes the subjective leading of the Holy Spirit, but He will guide us. There are things that come your way that you sense, I can't help on this. I can't help on this. There's going to be things in Cement City that y'all are going to be around that you're going to have to just trust the Holy Spirit says, not now, not at this time. It's real. It's real. I got myself into a situation at Walmart 5 years ago or something with a lady. It was a setup. She had a young child, a baby in need. So I went into the store and we started getting stuff for her, supplies. And I began to think, I think this might be a setup. And so by the time I got to the register with her, I could tell from the clerk that was at the register, they looked at me and it was all they could do not to say, you're being set up, man. But I stayed with it. I didn't feel it in danger. I just felt like I was fixing to put some money into this situation that maybe was not going to be the right situation. The products I were buying were wholesome things, you know, formula and things like diapers and things like that. So I wasn't being compromising in my conscience. I wasn't buying alcohol or something like that for them. But anyway, Krista would remember me coming home and telling her about it. And the whole thing played out and I realized it was fully a setup because when we were leaving, she asked if she could have my receipt, which was on my credit card. And I knew before we ever got outside, something is not right in all this. Because if you have the receipt, she goes back in, she gets the credit, and she can get whatever she wants with the credit. You see where I'm going with this? I mention it because those things can happen. God help you. Help us. Help you. I need to move on. The second group. If we're going to be doing good unto all men, especially God's people. Go back and read verse 10, the second part. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What comes to your mind? Krista's knowing me last night. I'm kind of carrying on a good conversation with her while I'm making a list, right? She's probably thinking, what is he writing down over there? He's not really giving me his full attention. Because it was the end of the night and my mind was just thinking, to those in the household of faith. And I start thinking of different ones of y'all. My own wife. And just pictures of God's people. Things I've been recipient of. Oh my. Things I've seen y'all do with each other. Through the years. Currently. And it was like, man, this is magnificent. Paul had lived it. He had done it. He had both given of himself and he had received of the household of faith. That man lived and put himself through everything for the glory of Jesus Christ and Jesus' people. That's it. That's the summary of the Apostle Paul. How he lived. He knew what it was like to do good to God's people. He was doing good to God's people from prison. Isn't that incredible? Doing good to your fellow Christians. There is a special care and concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. They're our spiritual family. We're in it together. Near and far. Christians near and far. And I could start pulling out stories from other Christians that I've known or things that Krista and I've seen. Things in those early days of our church. You don't have a whole lot of people. Your network's not real big. And some of the things that Linda could do for Krista or Krista could do for Linda or for me with Mac or Mac with me or Jeff. It was just a nucleus of us. And it was right. It was God honoring. It's a holy thing. It's a precious thing. It's a testifying thing. Doing for each other. They're our brothers, our sisters, our family. We're going to dwell with our great Savior forever. Forever. As I said the other night at that pavilion with the good ones and others that had come, I turned to that other Christian and I said, I may not see you again, but as C.S. Lewis said, besides, Christians never say goodbye anyway. And he just grinned. I may not see that guy again. Because we're in the kingdom of our dear Savior, our ethic, our action, our conduct is to be like his with his people. So now we've moved from all men. And especially, meaning with emphasis, especially, particularly, chiefly, the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You have opportunities with each other. We have opportunities. I just need to say on behalf of all of us, thank you. Thank you, technology team, people, just people that have worked for months and years just to give us the ability to broadcast and record. It's just thank you for your love and commitment to us and God's people. I've been out of town and been at home and things and sickness, and we can listen and hear, and we can hear the worship time and the preaching and teaching. That's doing good to God's people. And they're going to pick up and haul these speakers and all this stuff and move this stuff around. And you guys had to find that trailer a few years ago. It's not to be unnoticed. We ought to give thanks to each other for that. The book table or whatever it is. Again, remember, doing good is for the benefit of others. Yes, you're obligated to do good to your fellow man, but abundantly more so with your fellow brother or sister. Abundantly more so. They are your family, and they are the ones to care for. You think about a family that lives in a neighborhood. Y'all could probably relate to this, depending on where you live. In your neighborhood, a father, a man, a husband, in his household, he may see needs in the local residential community. Next door, across the street. Needs that he could impact. For example, there may be a woman that's a widow or raising two kids or in a special needs situation. And that man and his son could go and mow the yard or do something to be helpful. But the point is, those are good things outwardly. But he would never compromise or do that at the expense of the ones he's to truly most personally care for. Follow me in this. We're to be doing good to all men, but especially those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a much higher calling. You don't get caught up in some big... This is where those not-for-profit groups really mess with people's thinking. They create pride in people that they're doing things for humanity, and they don't really do anything for them. They send in money or something. I mean, you go to the prisons, you go to the homeless shelters, you go out on the streets, Pat and you guys up at the square, you meet all kinds of people. But God's people are the ones that are the priority. You're not trying to chase that at the expense of this. A father would not neglect his wife and his family simply because he's going to try to fix everybody in the neighborhood. I'm just trying to make a point here. Keep our perspective right. Keep our time right. Keep our resources thought about in the proper way. And time is a resource. So a spiritual family has to be spiritually and practically ministered to. And y'all do this all the time. The New Testament has some blazing examples for us, doesn't it? Just this tender care between the body, the Christians, and these men that were traveling and how they were received and how the church prayed and cared for them. It's just some beautiful pictures of this. It might be stirring for you to take some time in the next few days and go back to those. What does it mean to care for or to do good to the household of faith? Matthew Henry said this, the charity of Christians to one another should be extensive charity or good works, good deeds, doing good to each other. Extensive. The love and the expressions to each other should be extensive. It should be lengthy. It should be big. And again, it's in the season of life that we're in. We have different needs, different demands, different pressures, different opportunities that God brings our way. So getting into some application, be proactive. There are plenty of needs to help with. If somebody in this room, especially those of you that are newer here, if you don't know how to minister within this gathered people, find out how to. Be proactive. Look and listen and be aware of needs that may come up. You hear something. It could be all kinds of things, and I'm going to touch on these here in a minute because I think it'll stir us, and it'll hopefully create in us a hunger or a willingness, a readiness to do more. Be proactive. Be observant. How many of you read the prayer list every week? Some weeks thanks, Jay. That brother's the only one in this room that's reading now. Grandma Ray. Let me give you a practical way, and thank you for the different ones, and Rebecca puts that out, and different ones of you who have recorded the needs of the saints. Because we've got people praying in different places. We don't hear all that personally. Be observant. The prayer list each week can show you or bring forth things you think, I might be able to help on that. Now we're getting somewhere. Huh. you need a tiller. The fun story of the tiller in my garage. I heard that you needed a tiller or something. And remember, I was bragging on my 1995 Sears tiller. It still was in my barn that needed to be fixed. Well, here's Johnny Mechanic right here. So it was great. You still have it, I hope. At least tell me you do. Okay, Mac has it right now. So the point being is find out needs. When you look at the prayer list, yes, we pray for each other, but there may be something. Some of you single guys, I'd love to just almost have a group like Michelle does for the fellowship conference. We're all going to meet over there by the piano. You single guys, you have certain time and energy now that you can help. You may need to find somebody throughout the summer at somebody's house that you mow their yard and take care of it this season, summer all the way to fall. It's practical. You can benefit them. You can minister to them. You can show that kind of love and support. So find out needs. Be observant. And third, be creative. You have skills or things or resources or an old tiller in a barn. You have things that can benefit others and help others. Just be open to it. This is the giving and receiving within the body. It testifies of His Spirit in us, and it testifies to the world that feels like they have to go organize all that, force people to do it. It testifies to the world. They do this because they love each other. You got that right. That's right. Hear what the writer of Hebrews said. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Don't neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I'd like to wind down by just sharing my back of the envelope list that I was writing down last night. I was listening to Krista, but my mind was also writing a lot of things down. When I think of you and I think of where we are and I think of the years and I think of the care that God has taught us, it is a precious thing, and we need to abound ever the more, right? We need to increase. We need to increase. There's more numbers here. There's some of you who are new here. You're not just a spectator here. If you're going to come into Providence Chapel and be with us, we're going to give and receive, but you have to give of your life. And I understand that demands different things in your life already, but I'm just saying you have to be ready to do good. I'll try to move through these quickly. Just a way to, you go, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Things that we do are currently doing or could be doing more of. These are within the household of faith. Providing meals. Thank you, sister. Providing meals. That's been a wonderful thing through the years. Hundreds. It's got to be hundreds of meals that have been provided. Cooking and providing meals. Giving rides. Giving somebody a ride. It's just such a practical way to help. Sometimes you'll say, I'm going here or there. Doing yard work. I've already touched on this. Doing yard work for the brethren. I'll just give you a little sneaky one. Find out somebody's going to be out of town and they don't know, and you and your son go and do their yard while they're gone. They come back. Whoa, who did that? Did you hire so-and-so to do that? Nope, I didn't. Do good to each other. Find ways to do that. House painting. A couple of you guys are going, well, maybe. But it's a practical thing. Indoor, outdoor, something that needs within the body. Again, be ready. Financial support, obviously. Different ways that you can support each other. We support each other. Needs. Things come up. These can be magnificent things with us experiencing together. God raises money or provision for the need. You testify it. God is honored. The saints are built up. Faith is stirred. Taking others to doctor visits, dentist visits, follow-up visits. It's constantly happening. Taking them, being there, supporting, being with each other. Rides to the airport. Karen, you remind Brother Michael that all those years ago, I drew the small straw and I took him back to the, well, it's only two straws. Mac had already cheated me. No, I'm kidding. But I took him back to the airport that Monday morning after he had been here with us several days preaching. Rides, and there are all kinds of you know, during the fellowship conference, I remember more than once picking up with somebody that flew from this brother was from some part of Africa or something. I can't even remember. I had to pick him up downtown Dallas at the bus station. That gets a little lively in those downtown areas. And I got to meet him and he rode with me. And just, it's within the household of faith, near or far. House sitting. House sitting. Helping somebody if they're going to be gone. Taking care of things for them. House repairs. Y'all with me here? Doing good? Wouldn't it be wonderful maybe in heaven to talk with the Apostle Paul? Tell me about that first century, what the saints did and things, these kind of things to each other. Sewing, cooking, help with so many things. Care. Offering child care. And I know this is happening. Probably today, tomorrow, Tuesday. Offering child care. Helping with different ones and different needs. And in the marriage retreats, oftentimes the marriage retreats depend on each of you guys helping each other take care of kids so that a couple can go. Doing laundry. You ready, Mike? You ready to do laundry for somebody? Doing laundry for somebody. I'm kind of learning that with some fresh reality, helping dad, right? We have to help my dad. Various types of hospitality. That's doing good. That's benefiting others. Hospitality, hosting people, caring for people in that way, providing for people. Maybe they're coming through town. You get to meet other Christians. You get to have a few hours with them. Cutting firewood. All right, you manly guys. Let's cut some firewood. Minister to others. Get ahead of it. When we get to the late summer, early fall, think about things like this. Cutting firewood. Car repairs. If you have some skill sets, you can do that to help others. I'm not going to say appliances, brother, because I know you're already getting tapped into a lot already. But it applies, doesn't it? Things that you have skills in. House cleaning. Sometimes I'll hear about sisters in the faith that go and help so-and-so. That's a beautiful way to minister to each other. Running errands, making stops, picking up things, doing things. People that maybe they don't have another, a second vehicle or whatever it may be. Be intentional. Doing good to the household of faith. Buying groceries. Isn't that practical? Isn't that wonderful? Buying groceries. Computer support. Thank you, you people that know how to do computers and stuff. Computer support. Was it last weekend? Max sent us a note. I think I can't get my computer to work. I lost my notes. Pray for me. Classic Mac Tomlinson. Wait a minute here. And I'm thinking, Philip, don't say a word. And more than once, I'm trying to print my notes and Christmas printer's not hooked up and I'm frozen in Sunday morning going, uh-oh. And it can happen. But computer, if you have skill sets, beloved, wherever you are, I'm just trying to get us out of our seat into the thinking of what it means to care for each other. Loaning a car. Byron's not here today, but he had that car, that loaner. I think it's at the end of its days. But he had a loaner car. Helping somebody pack. I always like to say, can everybody just stay situated for a month? June, right, Zeke? Can we just get everybody to stay situated? It sounds like my mom. Everybody just, you know, there's things happening. Packing. That's tedious. That's real. Helping somebody move. And I appreciate the deacons. And I could go over many of these that they're leading and facilitating and guiding and giving help on. But I'm just trying to stir our thinking. The reality of it. Helping move. That happens a lot, doesn't it, David? A lot. Medical supplies. I'm convinced that during that first year of COVID, there were some incredible ways to help each other, different ones, with certain supplies and supplements and things that help people come through it for the better. I'm absolutely convinced God's hand was on that. So-and-so needs something. It's 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. And Krista would call Karen or call Elizabeth Kasuma or somebody. So-and-so needs help. We need supplies. Y'all with me on this? You see how practical that? Luke, the physician, was constantly caring for God's people, including Paul. That's a guy I'm ready to meet in heaven. Luke, the physician. God's man. Medical supplies. And lastly, farm chores. I couldn't help but end there. When we travel and we're gone for a marriage retreat or our time away or whatever it may be, at this point, Daniel Freeland has become our go-to man. And he has been marvelous helping us All my grown kids, which are sometimes hiding from the assignments. Oh no, they're leaving again. You know, I'm going to have to help, but they've just kind of gone, man, this Daniel guy is great. And I think they have heard us talk about it. So it is such a practical way. He's helped you guys at your place. Beloved, God is in these things. God has purpose in these things. We're advancing His kingdom. Paul's not just throwing this in as a token idea. He's saying, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't faint. And then he says, as you have opportunity, continue to do good. What a magnificent truth to walk in the movement of the Spirit. We can't plan it all. Can't organize it all. We're talking about just being ready. Opportunities come. God's with His people. You have people you're going to impact in the community that I won't ever know, or at work or whatever. We have different places and we have one another to minister to. So yes, beloved, God calls us to do good to everyone. So let's be about it. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we again thank You for these wonderful truths and exhortations to the people of God for over 2,000 years. These truths, these realities of doing good to other men, other people, and especially our brothers and sisters. Take us onward and help us, Lord, that You would be glorified, that we would learn how to do more of this and be ready and be discerning. For the glory of our Savior, we ask. Amen.